Hallelujah and praise be to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Lord, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of the Lamb upon all the listeners. I ask that you open their ears and their eyes and their hearts to receive what you're telling them today. Lord, anoint your word. Bring healing and deliverance where it's needed. And increase the anointing upon my brothers and sisters that they may be about your business in truth and spirit. And everybody said, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Welcome to the teaching called Sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. And we need to know what the sword of the Spirit is. And we're going to be talking about the sword of the Spirit and a little bit about the tongue and a few things here and there that bring understanding and give you weapons for warfare. Because you are a warrior. You're a child of God Almighty. And He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your voice. He wants to use your feet. He wants to use your eyes and your ears that you can be about His business, bringing His children home, those that are lost. So let's start right off. Grab the sword, which is known as the Word of God. Your Bible is a sword. Amen? And let's go to Revelations, the first chapter of Revelations. Praise be to God. And let's start off at verse 12. At verse 12. Now remember, the book of Revelations is the last book of the Bible. And here it is, John is in the Spirit. And this is Jesus talking to him. Jesus is giving them a revelation. And then it says in verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in the furnace, and his voice was as many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Now what went out of his mouth? A two-edged sword came out of the mouth of God. Now remember, this is called Sword of the Spirit. What does spirit mean? Spirit means breath. So blow on your hand. Spirit means breath. So it means sword of breath. Ooh, that means you got a sword in your mouth, brother and sister. Glory to the Lamb. Let's go to Ephesians 6:10. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10. Let's back up into the New Testament. Ephesians 6:10. We're going to read from 6:10 through 18. Amen. Praise God. This is Paul writing a letter to the Ephesians, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you better be putting on the full armor of God every day. Because if you get dressed with clothes, you need to get dressed with the full armor of God. In verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now remember, every day is a new day. So when we get up, we need to get dressed with the full armor of God. Don't you take your clothes off at night and go to bed? Well, you don't sleep with your clothes on. Well, let me tell you something. We need to put our full armor of God on every day. We need to dress with God. Amen? We need to start our day with the Lord. seeking his way, seeking the righteousness of the kingdom of God, knowing all these things will be added unto us, seeking his counsel, his direction, and his protection. Let me repeat that. Seeking his counsel, right? Seeking his direction, and seeking his protection. Glory to the Lamb. Let's go to verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Let me repeat that. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this, and with all perseverance, and supplication for all the saints. Now, he's talking about dressing with the full armor of God. You and I need to have the full armor of God. It's like a warrior who gets dressed with the full armor of God. And he talks about the last part that we are to put on is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It comes out of your mouth. Because in verse 18 it says, praying always with all prayer. Well, praying always with all prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. Well, we want to pray the Word of God, and it also means also praying in the Holy Ghost. But the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword is a part of the armor of God, and it's defined as the Word of God and a weapon of attack. Ooh, a weapon of attack. And I'm going to give you a little information about that right now. So let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, back in the Old Testament. Wonderful prophet of God. Jeremiah. Let's go to chapter 18, please. 18:18. Jeremiah 18:18. Hallelujah. And what does it say? Oh, I'm in Ezekiel. That doesn't do me any good. I need to get to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18:18. I'll get there. You guys are probably there already, but I'm not. Hallelujah. Okay, Jeremiah 18:18, and it states, then they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah. These are dudes trying to come against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. So what were they doing? They were attacking him with the tongue. They were attacking him with the tongue. Right? So, the tongue, well, the Word of God is used as a weapon. And we must speak it. We must speak it. So figuratively speaking, the tongue can be sharpened like a sword. And I'm going to give you a revelation on this in Psalm 64:3. Let's go to Psalm 64:3. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Psalm 64:3. So we want to speak the Word of God. Psalm 64:3. And it states, who sharpened their tongue like a sword and bent their bows to shoot their arrows? Bitter words. Ooh. So what we speak, we want to speak the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in our mouth, because Spirit means breath. Spirit means breath. And in your tongue, you have the power of life and death. Remember, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. So when we speak the Word of God, we are speaking life and we are speaking spirit. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, 13, please. Deuteronomy 13, 13. Old Testament. Hallelujah. Let's go back a little bit in history and see what the Word has to say. Remember, the Word will speak for itself. It's precept upon precept and line upon line. Deuteronomy 13, 13 through 15. And it says, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword. With the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it and its livestock with the edge of the sword. See, the Old Testament used the edge of the sword. And these are examples of the Old Testament. What was happening here is the edge of the sword was metal. It was a sword of judgment. God used the sword of metal, the metal of the weapon of the sword to destroy. Because remember, the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come of the New Testament. So everything was done outwardly, right? Everything was done outwardly. All the rituals, all the ordinances, everything was done outwardly. And even the Lord judged others. I mean, you know, I thank God for Jesus because now it's not done outwardly. Because many of us would have been slain the way we used to live. We'd have been cut down by the sword of metal. Let's turn to Ezekiel 14. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 14. Another powerful prophet. We're going to go to Ezekiel 14, 17 through 20. 17 through 20. Okay. And it states, or if I bring a sword on the land, and now this is the Lord, Sharon, and say, sword, go through the land, and I cut off man and beast from it. Even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only them themselves would be delivered. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. Ooh. So what's the Lord saying? He's talking about the sword. Verse 17. Or if I bring a sword on the land, and the sword go through the land. So God is talking about the sword. He's talking about metal. He's talking about there would only be a few of them who were righteous. He's talking about three men. He said that their daughters and their wives and everyone else would die except for those men because they were righteous. So here, well, I just gave you two examples of the Old Testament of the metal sword of judgment. But now we have the New Testament. Praise be to God. Now let's go to Matthew 10:34. Matthew 10:34 and see what Jesus has to say. Praise be to God. Matthew 10:34. Hallelujah. See, you're learning something already, huh? What's the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. It's not a sword that you attach to the side of your body, as the old Romans did when they used to dress up for war. But you are dressing up for war, but you're not dressing up for war as the Old Testament. You're dressing up for war as the New Testament. You are New Testament warriors. Praise be to God. And what you speak is life or death. See, you have the power and the ability in the tongue. You can even prophesy life over somebody. You speak life or death. Let's see what Jesus says in 10:34. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but what? A sword. What's the sword? The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The word of breath. Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And since we're in Matthew, let's go to chapter 26. Yes, Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And let's start at, so you get a better understanding of this, let's start at verse 47. This is where betrayal and arrest in Gethsemane, Jesus' betrayal. And while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. So they came against Jesus with the swords. Now his betrayer, who was Judas, had given him a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." This is what he told them. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who was with Jesus, one of the disciples, stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. That'll teach him, huh? No. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place." See, here's a powerful revelation. Powerful revelation, because Jesus was saying, here, Jesus is coming to what? Bring a whole new covenant of the New Testament. Remember, they just came again. They came up and faced Jesus with swords and club. This dude pulls out a sword on the side of Jesus, who is with Jesus, a believer of Jesus. He pulls out a sword and cuts off the high priest's ear. And Jesus says, "Put your sword in its place." He's trying to tell him, look, that's not how we fight anymore. So put your metal sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father? See, he gave the revelation here. Now, he's replacing the sword of metal with what? Prayer. The sword of the mouth. And he will provide, and he says, "And my Father will provide with me more than 12 legions of angels." Why 12? Because each legion represented a disciple that was there with Jesus. So see, you have a legion of angels. Right, remember, Judas was no longer part of them. He betrayed them, so they left 11. And Jesus is the 12th. So that's why he said, "I could call my Father for 12 legions of angels." Why? A legion for each. Praise God. And a legion is representation of about 2,000 angels. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? So we have the example of the exchange from the metal sword to the prayer sword, to the mouth, the voice, the spirit, which is breath, which is breath. Now let's go to Isaiah 55, 11. Isaiah 55, 11. Praise be to God. He is seeing this. Remember, the Old Testament was the shadow of what the things that are come. Of the New Testament. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Let's start at verse 11, please. Verse 11. And this is Isaiah prophesying. He says, "And the Lord saying, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. Ooh. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it." Now, what's he talking about? God said, "I sent my word." He sent my word, and it will not return back void, but to accomplish what I send it. Jesus is the word of God. The sword is the word of God. And it, where did it come? It comes out of the mouth of God. See, Jesus is the mouth of God. He's the Word of God. He is the Word. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. And when they two get together, let me tell you something. So what we want to do is we read the Word of God, we get it in our spirit, and we speak the Word of God, and it comes out as a two-edged sword. Is it powerful? Remember, the Lord said, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Out of the mouth of God. That is food to us. The Word of God is food. Now I want to read this verse over again. The Lord says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. What does void mean? Without fruit. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Praise be to God. Let's go to Psalms 149. Psalms 149. Verse 5 and 6, please. Verse 5 and 6, Psalm 149. The word will not return void. It will accomplish what Daddy sends it to accomplish. 149, please. Verse 5 and 6. This is a powerful psalm. I share this psalm a lot in our services because it talks about dancing. This is a lot of spiritual warfare in this psalm. It's powerful. And it says in verse 5 and 6, let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them what? Sing aloud on their beds. Well, you don't have to sing aloud on your bed, but you can sing aloud. Why? Because these are parts of spiritual warfare. Jesus said, my word will not come back void. My words are life. Now, he's talking about the tongue. Now, you and I have the Spirit of God in us, and we have the breath of God. Amen. Now remember that your voice, your tongue can be used as a weapon for attack, wounding like a sharp sword. The tongue can be used for blessings and curses. The tongue can also be used to sin, or to speak of the Lord's righteousness, to sing praises to God. The Bible talks about the tongue of the wise promotes health. The tongue of the righteous is a treasure. The Bible speaks of keeping the tongue from evil and guarding the tongue and bridling it. The tongue also speaks about that it's an indicator of a person's spirit. It reveals what's in your heart. Whoa. James talks about the tongue as being uncontrolled and uncharitable tongue. But we need to surrender our voice, our lips, and our tongue to the Lord every single day. That we speak what He wants us to speak. Because remember, breath is spirit, and the sword is the word. So in Psalms 149, 5 and 6, it talks about praises. So what we're doing, we're praising the two-edged sword. We're singing. We're opening our mouth. It says, "Let," in verse 6, let the high praises of God be in your mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Ooh, well see, because this is the Old Testament, we don't have a two-edged sword in our hand. Where do we have the two-edged sword? In your mouth. Man, when you begin to praise and worship the Lord, He shows up. Then everything else flees. It's a part of warfare now. We are to attack the devil. You don't have to take no garbage from him. You use these weapons. Remember, there are weapons that God's given us. Now, somebody can give you a gun. If you don't know how to put bullets in a gun and shoot it, it doesn't do you any good. Well, God has given you the word. But if you don't know how to use it, what good is it? That is the sword. And I'm telling you, when you go to service, you bring the sword with you. You bring a piece of paper with you. You bring a pen with you. Because when you sit down in service and the man of God speaks, you better be prepared because it isn't that man. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through him. God has given him words to speak that you could learn. And paper doesn't forget. Amen? So when you go to service, you bring your sword. You should always have your sword with you, whether it's a little one or your normal one that you study with. Man, that's a part of your armor. Do not go out with your sword, and that is the word of God. Amen? Praise be to God. So remember, sword is the word breath means spirit. Praise be to God. Now let's go to John 4, the New Testament. John 4. Hallelujah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse. John 4, verse 24, please. I want to show you something. I like this. I love the Word of God. Let's back up a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start at verse 23. And Jesus is saying, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. What's spirit mean? Breath. Amen. And truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. So when you worship God, you're worshiping Him. He's looking for you. He sees. Because He sees the light coming out of your mouth as you begin to worship and you get His attention and He shows up. Praise be to God. And verse 24. God is spirit. Ooh, what's God? God is spirit. God is breath. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit, in breath, and in truth. And that's what pleases God. So God is spirit. God is breath. Let's go back to John 1. The first chapter of John, not 1 John. Let's go down back to the first chapter, turn a couple pages. In fact, let's go back to the first verse. No, let's not. Let's go back to verse 14. John 1, 14. Praise be to God, John 1, 14. Now, who is the Word? Jesus. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory in the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is Jesus. Now, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? He comes in you. His Spirit's in you. So when you read the Word of God, this Word is the voice of God. The Bible is the voice of God. So when we read the Word, because it's known as the Spirit, we're putting the Spirit in us. In other words, you know when Jesus told the man that cut off the dude's ear, He said, put the sword back. So He was putting it back in the casing. Well, what we're doing is we're putting the sword in this casing, and the casing is your body. Oh, check it out. Now, you're putting the sword, the Word of God, in your spirit, in your body, because in your temple. It's the same thing as when somebody pulls a sword out of its canister. You're pulling the sword out of this canister, which is the temple, except for you're pulling it out by speaking it, because spirit means breath, sword means the Word. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the weapon of breath, not the weapon of metal anymore. Is that powerful? So when Jesus said to him, put the sword back, well, we're going to put the Word of God in us, which is the sword. And when we speak it, we are speaking. We are speaking. Remember, Jesus became flesh. The Word of God became flesh. Now, you and I are the Word of God. When Jesus came into us and we began to eat and drink of Him, getting the Word of God in us and the Holy Spirit in us, we became the Word that became flesh. Praise be to God. You and I are walking sword. We are walking epistle, a living Word of Christ Jesus. We are a walking witness. Now, since we're in John 1, let's back up a little bit. I want to go to the first verse to give you clarification and understanding. In the beginning was the Word. Who was the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So, the Word of God is in you. The Word of God is in you. Can you comprehend that? Isn't that wild? He was in with God. He was in the beginning with God in verse 2. Amen. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Did not comprehend it. Life in light is the Word. Remember, Jesus says, my words are life, my words are spirit. Life and light is the Word. That's why Satan hates the Word, because of the light, for he is darkness. Satan hates it when you speak, because the Holy Ghost boxing gloves comes out of your mouth, a glory. Look, I want you to look at a boxing glove. Yeah, boxing glove. Remember, when you speak, this boxing, glorious boxing glove of the Holy Ghost, which is whiter than snow, it's glowing like a brilliant light, comes out of your mouth. And when you speak the Word of God, it slams the devil in his nose. Pow! Every time you speak the Word of God, you push the devil back, because light overtakes darkness. Light overtakes darkness. Why? Because God's Word is life and light. So let the Holy Ghost boxing glove come out of your mouth and smack the devil in his kisser. Amen? Praise be to God. Remember the sword of the Spirit. Now let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Hallelujah. Oh, we're learning something today. We are learning something today. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Are we there yet? Hebrews 4:12. Hallelujah. Let's see. I'm almost there. Glory to God. Let's see what Daddy's got to say. Ooh, let's back up a little bit. Let's start at verse 11. Hebrews 4:11. And it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God, what? For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Whoa, this is powerful. This is powerful. Look what the Word of God does. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces. Why? Because it's a sword. And what does it do? Even to the division of soul and spirit in the joints of the marrow. And it's a discerner of thoughts and the intents of a heart. So it brings conviction. It brings healing. It brings the Holy Ghost boxing glove. Hallelujah. Because it's powerful. It brings life. Praise God. I mean, it's all in this one. Look, it says, for the Word of the God is what? Living. So that brings life. It's powerful. Well, that's the Holy Ghost boxing glove. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Man, that's a sword piercing, right? It separates the soul and the body. I mean, the soul and the spirit. It brings healing because of the joints and the marrow. And it brings discernment. It reveals the intents of the people's thoughts, which brings what? Conviction and correction. Praise be to God. Now, I want us to just hold tight to this, because I want to give you another revelation. So here we have in Hebrews 4:12, it gives us this powerful verse of telling us all of these things of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Now, I want us to go to Proverbs 12, Proverbs 12, and then from there we're going to give a little understanding about what it's talking about, the soul and the spirit. Praise be to God. Proverbs 12, hallelujah. Proverbs is right after Psalms. A proverb a day brings wisdom and knowledge and won't let you stray. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Proverbs 12, verse 17 and 18. Let's see what it says. He who speaks truth declares righteousness. Whoa. He who speaks truth declares righteousness. See, what speak? But a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Remember, I shared that with you. Let's go to verse 19. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is just for a moment. Oh, why? Because Daddy's going to take care of that. Because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's living, it's convicting, it's powerful, it's healing, it's delivering. Hallelujah. And what else is it? Let's go to Psalms 119. The Word of God. Psalms 119, since we're in this area. Hallelujah. Psalms 119, verse 105. You know, when you get a chance, sit down and read all of Psalms 119. It will bless your socks off. Praise be to God. Verse 105. This is David speaking to the Lord. He says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Ooh, powerful. That's why it's so good to do daily confessions. And at the end of this teaching, I'm going to go over some daily confessions with you. And if you'd like, we'd send you some. It will help your day, because what does he say? He says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So when you speak daily confessions, when you speak the Word of God, you're laying a foundation of a path for you to walk on, which is the Word of God. And Daddy's laying that foundation for you. He's setting these glowing bricks before you, which is the Word of God. These wonderful blocks and these bricks that he's laying a foundation for you that you can walk on, and they're glowing, and then you're walking into the light. You're walking on the light, and you're walking in the path of the light, because you've confessed these words, which is daily confessions, before you left your house that day. Praise be to God. Amen. Okay, now I want to bring you back a little bit. And remember, in Hebrews 4:12, it says that the two-edged sword divides the soul and the spirit, and of course the marrow, which represents the body. All right, let's go to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Come on. Are you learning something? I know you are. I know you are. Praise be to God. Because I learn every time these teachings. Man, every time the Lord puts on my heart to do these teachings, I get refreshed. Because, you know, the paper doesn't forget, but our mind does. You know, we can't hold on to all of this stuff because it's so powerful. But the Lord wants us to. That's why we need to go to services. That's why we need to fellowship. That's why we need to go to Bible study. Even though we've heard some of this stuff before, we have to be refreshed and reminded of it. Amen? Don't let the devil deceive you. You keep going to Bible study. You keep going to service to learn. Praise be to God. And even if you learned it already, you'll get refreshed. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2, please. And it says, as soon as I get there. Let's start at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And you know what? Every day I say, Lord, I present my body, my spirit, my soul, and my body and all of my members to you as a living sacrifice. Break me, mold me, and use me for your glory. Open my ears, my eyes, and my heart to receive what you're telling me to do today. That's what I do every day. I present my spirit, soul, and body to my daddy. And in verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world. We don't want to be conformed to this world. You're, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So the Lord's telling us, look, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because the battle is in the mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you do that? By knowing the will of God. How do you do that? By reading the Word of God. Amen? By reading the Word of God. And where is the mind located? Oh, the soul. Remember, the soul is a representation of the mind, the emotions, and the will. The mind, the emotions, and the will. That is the soul. So here, God is talking about the Word being renewing of the mind, and the mind is located in the soul. Remember, the word we read in Hebrews 4:12 that it divides the soul, the spirit, and the body. Because the marrow represented the body. So here, I'm giving you word upon word, precept upon precept, line upon line about God here is speaking now through Paul. The Holy Spirit is speaking and saying, look, it renew your mind by what? The Word of God, which is representation because it's in your soul. Now let's talk about the Spirit. Ephesians 5:26. Praise be to God. Are you learning? I know you are. I know you are because I am. This is refreshing me, man. This is giving me more hunger to want to read more of the Word of God. Eat and drink more of the Word of God and learn more of the Word of God. Praise be to God. Ephesians 5:26. Ephesians 5:26. And it states, that He might sanctify and cleanse her. Now He's talking about, the word is also known as water. Okay? Water. And you'll see here that here it is talking about husbands and wives submitting to one another. And it's talking about the husband reading the Word of God to the woman. And he says that God would sanctify, or that the Lord might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. By the Word. You understand it? So we get washed by the water. We get washed by the Word of God. And we want to cleanse. The Bible talks about cleansing our spirit and cleansing our flesh. It says, talks about removing the filthiness from our spirit and our flesh, and it's by reading the Word of God. So it talks about washing of the water by the Word of God. All right? And that's what we want to do. So we wash our spirit by the Word of God in Ephesians 5:26. We renew our mind, which is the soul, in Romans 12:2. And now let's go to Psalms 107. Hallelujah. Psalms 107. Praise be to God. Renewing our mind by the Word of God, washing our spirit by the Word of God. And let's see, it sounds 107. Oh, let's see, 107, verse 20, I think. Hallelujah. 107. Yeah, let's go to verse 20. Well, let's go to verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Ooh, I want you to remember this. And He sent His Word. Ooh, He sent His Word. In what? Healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What did He heal? Healed their body. Praise be to God. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Praise be to deliverance from destruction. It's divine healing. Divine healing from God Almighty. He is our healer. He sent his word. It's not only spiritual, but it's physical healing. The Lord will heal us when we cry out to him. He does. He heals us with his word. He delivers us with his word. A beautiful example of this is seen when Jesus is healing the centurion servant in Matthew 8:8. But we don't have to go to it. I just want to tell you this. Powerful. The sword of the Spirit pierces and divides the soul and the spirit. The sword of the Spirit heals the body. The sword of the Spirit renews the mind, renews the soul. In Romans 12:2, cleanses us and washes us. In Ephesians 5:26, and heals the body in Psalm 107:20. Is that powerful? How much more do you want to read now? Remember, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We want to speak the Word of God. We want to speak it and let the Holy Ghost white glory boxing glove come out of our mouth and smack the devil in his kisser. Amen? Praise be to God. Let's see what else the Word has to say. Let's go to John 6:63. John 6:63. Oh, you know, the devil don't want you to know this stuff. You kidding? He doesn't want you to know this stuff. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. I said let's go back to John 6:63, but you know, I just believe we need to go back a little bit further. I believe that we need to start at verse 41. John 6:41, that we can get a fuller understanding. This is powerful. I love reading this word. This is Jesus speaking. Now the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. Remember, the Lord said, I sent my word to accomplish that what I wanted to do. And it won't come back to me void. Why? Because Jesus is the word. He is the bread from heaven. He is the manna. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. See, now you're being taught by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Remember, the Lord says, no man, you cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Why? Because he is the bread of life. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. Verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. His bread is his flesh. That's why Jesus said, you must eat and drink of me. Then the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now, isn't this powerful? That's why the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, we must eat the Word. This is known as the flesh. Eat and drink. It's spirit and flesh. The blood represents the spirit. The body, the flesh, represents the Word. That's why we must drink of the Spirit. That's by praising and worshiping, asking the Holy Spirit to fill us every day. And eat the Word of God. Let's go to verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing." Oh, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Remember, I shared with you this before. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. He said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." Now this is awesome. The reason why you're hungry and you're listening to this tape and you're seeking the Word and all of a sudden you're not really sure why these things are happening is because God supernaturally is drawing you. You have a thirst and hunger in your spirit, and he's drawing you. It's your time to know him. So Jesus speaks that my words are life and spirit. And if you get a chance, reread this again. It is so powerful. John 6 from verse 41 to verse 65. That's wonderful. Wonderful. And you know, some people, and if you read verse 66, look at it, it says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Because they couldn't receive it. Some of them left and departed. Isn't that wild? Here, they've been walking with Jesus. Now, these aren't the 12 disciples. These are some of the other ones that came along. Some of them departed from him. And you know, some people are departing right now. Because the Bible says that the Spirit brings life. And the letter killeth. Because some people are so bound that they don't have spirit in them. Remember, the Old Testament was learned as the letter. The Ten Commandments were learned as the letter. You and I couldn't obey the Ten Commandments. But through the Spirit of God, when he is in us, now the Ten Commandments are brought in us and we can obey them. We have the power by the Spirit. But some will turn around. They don't want to know the new ways. They don't want to receive the new covenant. They want to stay in their old bondage ways. And they want to be able to control others through that. But where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. There's freedom. Not that we can go about sinning, but we have the Holy Spirit now. So the Holy Spirit is the digester of the Word of God. And with the Holy Spirit in us, so what's happening, right? Jesus said, "You surely will eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." So we're eating the Word of God. Picture yourself eating the Bible. Rah, 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 rah. You know, chewing up the Bible. You're chewing up the Word of God. You're getting it in you. And you're praising and worshiping and asking the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the digester of the Word of God. That's why you're able to begin to understand things. And when you speak the Word of God, it comes out as a two-edged sword because it comes out with spirit and life. It comes out as the Holy Ghost boxing glove. And it comes out as the hand of God right out of your mouth, able to heal, able to deliver, able to plant a seed and reach into the heart that individual can receive salvation. Is that powerful? Well, let's see what Jesus did. Let's go to Matthew 4. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Remember, when you speak, light comes out of your mouth. Matthew 4, I think we'll start at, verse 4. Let's go back to verse 1. This is a powerful. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, the Holy Spirit, Jesus was baptized. He came up from the water. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Why? So he could learn. So he could understand. We need sometimes to separate ourselves with the Lord so that we can begin to understand His ways, so that we begin to have clarity and hear the voice of the Spirit, so He can begin to work on us, so that we're not swayed by the things that you hear and by the things that you see and by the things that you feel, but you're swayed by the truth, and the truth is what makes you free, not your belief. The truth makes you free. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Well, the devil knows how to attack you by your flesh, hunger. And Jesus turned around and said to him, "It is written." What did he do? He spoke. He didn't think the devil way. He spoke my way. Why? Because spirit means breath. And he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Yahoo! And then the devil took him into this holy city and sent him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" And that's in Psalms 91. And Jesus said to him again, what did he say? "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus slam punched the devil with the Holy Spirit boxing glove every time. Jesus spoke. The sword of the Spirit came out of his mouth. And in verse 8, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And how did the devil tempt him? And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you and if you fall down and worship me." So now, the devil first of all tempted him by food because he was hungry. Then he tempted him by the word of God, charging him, saying, "Okay, God says this, will he do it?" But see, we're not to tempt God. And now he tempts him with riches. And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship.'" So you know what? People can get deceived and begin to worship material things. But we're only to worship the Lord. Now in verse 11, then the devil what? The devil left him. Why? Because he spoke the word of God. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Praise God. So what do we have to do? We have to speak the word of God. Jesus didn't think the devil away. He spoke him away. And my brother and sister, you can't think the devil away. When you begin to pray, you speak it out. You confess. You pray with your mouth open. Because in you is the Spirit of God. And when you pray, you speak it out. "Lord, I love you. Lord, I take authority over the devil." You speak it. No longer pray in your mind. Speak the word. Speak it because your voice, the Spirit of God, is light and life. And when you speak it, you're moving back the powers of darkness. So you must speak your prayers from now on. And when you read the Word of God, speak it. Praise be to God. So Jesus speaks, it is written, as the devil tempted him and the devil departed. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's see what else the Bible says about the sword. Let's go to Genesis 3:24. Go all the way back. Genesis 3:24. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we know that the sword of the Spirit penetrates, separates the spirit, soul, and body, washes the spirit with the word, renews the soul with the word, and heals the body with the word. It is also used as an attack on the devil. And let's see what else. In Genesis 3:24, but of course, you know we're going to have to back up a little bit. Hallelujah. Genesis 3, let's back up. Oh, 3:22. Now remember, Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden because they sinned. All right? Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like us. Why? Because he knew, if you see further on, to know good and evil. Because he knew good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and his wife, and he placed a cherubim, which is an angel, a very high-ranking angel, at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Whoa! The sword is what? A flaming sword. You know, God, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. So when you speak the word of God, it is life. But I'm telling you, brother and sister, it's also a flaming sword that comes out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. You know, Elijah called down fire from heaven and it consumed the whole altar of sacrifice. So here the sword is used as the protector. God used the flaming sword as a protector to protect the tree of life. Amen? So, when we speak the word of God, you're speaking light and you're speaking a flaming sword. So the angel protects the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword. Now, let's go to Revelations 19. Revelations 19, hallelujah. The last book, Revelations 19, verse 11. Revelations 19, verse 11. Praise be to God. The sword of the Spirit. Now you're going to begin to speak the word of God. You're going to begin to pray with your mouth. Amen? Praise God. Let's see. Oh, I just love the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Verse 11. And this is John who was taken in the Spirit, and God revealed the revelations to him. The book of Revelations, he told him to write it down. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 19, verse 11, it says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white throne. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me repeat that. Now I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Who was on him? The King of Glory. And he who was on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called. What was his name? The Word of God. What's the Word of God? The sword of the Spirit. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who are the armies in heaven? Me and you, brother and sister. This is me and you coming with Daddy. Glory to the Lamb. In verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus destroys the wicked with the sword of the Spirit. With what? That comes out of his mouth. We just shared before in Revelations what he looks like. Praise God. So what are we to do? We are to speak the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. We are to dress with the full armor of God and the sword of the Spirit. Remember, the sword is representation of the Word. In you is the sword. Your temple is the housing for the sword. And we want to pull it out and speak it in the proper place, in the proper time, to renew our soul, to cleanse our spirit, to bring healing to our body, to bring deliverance to those who are bound, to bring the truth to those who are lost, and to bring salvation to those in need. Amen. Praise be to God. Now I want to go over the daily confessions with you. But before I do that, I just want to give a little conclusion. The sword of the Spirit is a weapon. Pierces, heals, destroys, renews, separates, protects, cleanses, judges, convicts, is light, and brings eternal life. So I encourage you, use the sword of the Spirit by speaking the Word out loud and put the devil under your feet. In Jesus' name. Now I have a list of daily confessions. Hallelujah. And like I said, if you'd like, I'll send them to you. And I want to read them to you. Let's read these daily confessions. It says, the first one, my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that I could ever ask or think, according to His Spirit that works in me. And that's in Ephesians 3:20. Jesus is Lord over my spirit, my soul, and my body. And that's Philippians 2:9-11. Jesus has been made unto me wisdom and knowledge, understanding, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. My God supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I do not fret or have anxiety about anything, nor do I have a care. I am the body of Christ. I am redeemed from the curse because Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases in His own body on the cross. And by His stripes I am healed. I forbid any sickness or disease to operate in my body. I command every organ and tissue of my body to function in the perfection in which God created it to function. I honor God and bring glory to Him in my body. I have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of His heart. I am a believer and not a doubter. I hold fast to my confession of faith. I decide to walk by faith and practice faith. My faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus is the author and developer of my faith. The love of God has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit, and His love abides in me richly. I keep myself in the kingdom of light, in love, in the Word, and the wicked one touches me not. I tread upon the serpents and the scorpions over all the power of the enemy. I take my shield of faith and quenches every fiery dart. For greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I am delivered from this present evil world. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I reside in the kingdom of God's dear Son. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I fear not, for God has given me a spirit of power and love and sound mind. God is on my side. I hear the voice of the good shepherd. I hear my Father's voice, and the stranger I will not follow. I roll all my works upon the Lord. I commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause my thoughts to be established and succeed. I am a world overcomer because I am born of God. I represent the Father in Jesus well. I am a useful member in the body of Christ. I am His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. My Father God is all the while effectually at work in me both to will and do His good pleasure. I let the Word dwell in me richly. He who began a good work in me will continue to the day of Christ. Knowing no weapon formed against me will prosper. I am more than a conqueror. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. My body has been anointed to be healed. My soul has been anointed to be obedient, and my spirit has been anointed to be strong. You speak these all in the name of Jesus. My brother and sister, we are to speak confessions. We are to speak the word. Let the sword of the Holy Spirit come forth through your mouth. Let God use you. Remember, you are the walking, living word. Declare it. Claim it. Speak it. And watch the hand of God move on your behalf. Father, I give you praise and I thank you for this teaching. I thank you, Father, that you have fed us from your lips today, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are the revealer. You are the manifester. You are the healer. You are the deliverer of your people. I thank you, Father, that you have sent your word and that we are now the walking epistle, the living word. Father, I apply the blood of Jesus upon my brothers and sisters. And I ask, Father, as the blood be applied upon the seed that's been planted, that you'll destroy the works of the enemy coming against them, and that you'll allow the seed to grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to remind you also that we have a deliverance prayer that you can speak daily. It sets you free from the bondages of the devil, from ancestral curses. It sets your children free. It sets you free from soul ties. And you're to confess those also. Speak them. And just call me. Write me. I gladly send you the daily confessions and the daily deliverance prayer. Because God wants to do a great work in you and use you and use your voice to bring His children home. My brother and sister, I love you, God bless you, and the Lord be with you, in Jesus' name.